If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.
A listener note before we get started. This podcast was recorded Tuesday afternoon before the news of former Missouri Director of Health and Senior Services Don Karoff's resignation. The 2022 Missouri legislative session has crossed the month mark without a lot to show for it. Redistricting and an emergency supplemental budget are still on the to-do list, and this week the Senate effectively killed the appointment of the state's health director, Don Karoff. On this episode of Politically Speaking, I talk with Senate Majority Leader Caleb Rowden about how a session has progressed, redistricting, and why the Senate decided to not approve of Governor Mike Parson's pick for health director. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
We have to talk about things that matter to people.
I've tried to bring that same aggressive iconoclast style with me to the United States Senate.
I think my district is a model for the state.
We put Missourians first.
You just kind of have to find the common ground with people.
I believe that this district deserves someone who represents their values.
After I came back to St. Louis, I started thinking that I could have a bigger role on the change that I wanted to make.
Welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, State House and Politics reporter Sarah Kellogg. And today, joining me in the office in Jefferson City, he is a senator for the 19th, which includes Boone and Cooper County.
Caleb Rowden.
Hi, Senator. How are you doing?
Doing good. Good to be here.
Glad you're able to join us in our little attic office.
Yeah,
and,
that's nice.
And have it on a kind of a Friday in a while.
It's a Friday.
Yeah, we're recording,
good enough.
We're recording this on a Tuesday, but you know, with the weather coming, we're gonna session's not meeting Wednesday, Thursday, so we get a nice long weekend. But also not. So let's just get started with questions. We have a lot to talk about. So let me just start with, what is your opinion on how session has just proceeded so far?
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to be a more interesting, unique one because of the fact that redistricting was up front. That's obviously something that doesn't happen often every 10 years, and we weren't under any misconception that it was going to be a particularly smooth process, and you know, just a lot of diverging opinions on you know, how we should go about drawing these maps. And so, you know, we knew that would cause some early fireworks that in most sessions probably don't happen just because you don't have that kind of magnitude of an issue. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll get done with that presumably next week and move on to the next thing. You know, it's I think from that point on, it at least feels and looks a little more normal for whatever normal is now in Jeff City.
Yeah, I know when we talked earlier this month, you mentioned redistricting being that larger variable early on. How much of an obstacle has it been? Is it more than you thought it would be?
You know, I don't know that it's been any way different than we thought. We you know, the House took a little more front-end approach of having the committee hearings and some public hearings and public testimony that we obviously paid close attention to and kind of piggybacked off of, you know, what we heard from some of those hearings. We're doing more of our deliberative work after we've gotten it. And so, you know, I think the timeline, we still got time. If we're going to get this thing done before filing would start, that presumes that, you know, we get some help on an emergency clause or get, you know, some sort of court ruling that helps there. But, you know, I think it's largely been what I expected. I prepared for the worst, and maybe it's just been slightly better. So,
and how are negotiations going with the map so far?
Yeah, they're okay. We, you know, we still have, you know, we have some folks who aren't happy. We have some folks from both sides of the aisle that aren't happy. You know, this issue is unique in that compromise. You know, if it's a different policy, tort reform or something else. Compromise in that scenario means you just usually take something out or you tweak something, you know, change the language. Whereas in the redistricting process, if you change something, if you compromise, which I'm not against in this case, but when you do, it creates these other dominoes around the state. And so, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that a change in St. Louis or St. Charles, if it's big enough, impacts something that's happening in Branson or, you know, down in Southwest Missouri. So it just makes it harder, right? It's harder to get enough people to understand a change and sign off on a change than it normally is. And so that, you know, that creates just an obstacle, but it's not obviously insurmountable. And like I said, at some point we'll get this thing done.
Yeah, and I've asked you this before a little bit. It seems like, are a lot of the negotiations kind of happening with the second and the third district versus like the idea of a 7-1 map? It's really more tweaking St. Louis County districts.
Yeah, we had caucus in November and talked about 7-1. There's a lot of people who have concerns about 7-1 because from a partisan perspective, which this isn't entirely about that, but people who are looking at it from that perspective, a 7-1 map in a bad cycle is 4-4, potentially. And so you have to understand those variables. And so there wasn't a lot of support, and we felt that from the beginning for the idea of pushing for that 7-1. So where we landed was this 6-2 that we thought made as few people upset as possible, which in this instance is a part of the process. But still, I think is very reflective of the state, how the state has changed, the demographic trends. You know, I said it, I think, in a press conference a few weeks ago. Part of this isn't just saying, well, Missouri's really, really Republican, which for the moment it absolutely is, but saying, St. Louis County is trending blue while Jefferson County and Franklin County are trending red. Accounting for that and how we draw these districts, that's kind of the nerdy part of this, but it is actually functionally what we're supposed to be doing. So, all that's a part of the discussion.
So, and you've mentioned not being super worried about an emergency clause. Can you elaborate that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'd certainly love to have it. It didn't come out of the House, it was, 15 votes short over there. It is certainly the cleanest way to do this in the time frame that we have. I do think there are other ways the court could intervene potentially if someone, hypothetically a congressional candidate said, hey, we need some relief from the court because we don't know where to file. We could change the primary date. There are some options out there. Obviously, if we could get an emergency clause, it still is the best case scenario, because otherwise you have a August 2nd primary for a map that doesn't go into effect until August 28th or August, whenever the primary is this year. So we're still talking about that. It seems unlikely, but I guess probably not completely impossible at this point.
So I went into this week thinking that kind of probably the biggest obstacle was going to be redistricting. That wasn't the case. The obstacle appears to be the appointment, or really non-appointment, of Don Karoff as Director of Health and Senior Services. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how that went?
I think in the last, probably beginning the middle part of last week, really started to hear a lot of vocal opposition to the director. And I think it just started Senator Schatz and I thinking about kind of where we were going, where the obstacles were. Were we sure that this guy was going to be able to get across the finish line? And so we started having some discussions with, folks all over the spectrum, in the Senate. There was quite a bit of opposition. I think some of it was, some of the stuff that was said about him, I think, was frankly ridiculous. But I do think there were some legitimate concerns kind of mixed in with some of the things that were discussed in the hearing and maybe less so on the floor today. But, from my perspective, and I think if we were going to be here all 4 days this week, so we were up against a time crunch. He's got to be done by Thursday. If we're here all 4 days, maybe it's different. We were not convinced we had the votes to pass him either out of committee or off of the floor. And so, in the interest of getting our folks home and safely, in front of the snowstorm and trying to just kind of keep our focus on the main things for the moment, we made the decision to not take any action on them. I never want to, it's a tough situation because, the guy moved from Illinois and I don't know where, if his wife has moved or not yet, but, that's tough, and I think you can we'll get on the backside of it and kind of figure out what we did right and what we did wrong. But I do think the weather was a very, very big part of that decision, and just not being here for the last 2 days was pretty hurtful for that process. But you know, we need a department director. Obviously, that's an important role given the world that we're currently living in. And I know I don't actually think they have a deputy director either at the moment. So we'll do whatever we can to help. And you know, the governor, I assume, will move fairly quickly on something else if he decides to go that route. So we'll see.
And kind of, you know, this is a very broad question, but kind of what happened? You know, were the votes there if you had really tried to push it through? You know, what worries were you hearing from senators?
Yeah, it was a little bit of everything. Not every senator's opposition was the same, as far as previous comments, previous public statements that he had made, some concern for potential positions that he had or had held at one point. I think the notion that the guy came from Illinois and so he's a crazy liberal is crazy. I think people can plenty of conservative folks that live in liberal states, but again, it came down to, do we have the votes and do we have the ability to get him done in a tremendously shortened week? And the answer at some point became pretty clear that the answer probably to both of those questions was no.
This appears to be kind of a complete win for the Conservative caucus. Did they make any compromises? Were there any concessions held?
No, I mean, I think a couple of things. One, the only opposition wasn't from that group, right? So I think that's one thing that was a little different than maybe in some of these other instances, and frankly was a moment, I think, where Senator Schatz and I started trying to kind of run this down to make sure how much opposition there really was. I try not to get in the mindset, other people do and I get caught in the middle of it, mindset of who's getting the win and who's not. At the end of the day, there were folks on both sides of the Republican caucus that just weren't comfortable with moving ahead. So that's the position we took.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.
And we're back on Politically Speaking. I'm Sarah Kellogg. Joining me is Senator Caleb Rowden, who serves the 19th District, which includes both Boone and Cooper County. So, you know, have you heard from the governor on this? I know just yesterday he issued a pretty strong statement of support. Have you heard from him?
Yeah, we talked to his staff numerous times this morning and wanted to make them aware of, again, there's never any intent from, at least from my perspective, to embarrass anybody, to make this any more than it needs to be. So we talked with the staff, told them, hey, we've got concerns. We're not sure we can make this happen. And then when we made the decision this morning to cancel tomorrow on Thursday, that became pretty clear. So again, it's never a matter of, I don't care what my position is on anybody's feelings on anything. I think that advice and consent process, and it is normally a rubber stamp, but I think we in the Senate, sometimes overlook the responsibility and the power that comes from that. I hope we never use it as a tool to leverage things or anything else. But I do think there was legitimate oppositions here, so I think that rises to a different level as far as what we're willing to do.
With the next health director, kind of what are some of those lines that you think can't be crossed? I know Karoff, he wasn't for mandates. He mm-hmm. said that repeatedly. He talked about, the efficiency of the vaccine and the efficiency of masks, but would never, but he wasn't for mandates. I'm curious as to, would a future health director that still kind of supports vaccines, do you think that would be met with similar opposition?
Yeah, I don't know that was entirely it. Like I said, I think there were other things out there, and I won't speak for every individual senator, but there were other statements, other kind of associations that he had with folks and with things that were happening in Illinois during his time in office over there. I do think it presents an interesting question for us as we move forward and presumably find another potential director in front of us at some point. I do think we need to be careful about there's a difference between, from my perspective, an individual's personal opinions on any number of things, but also being mindful of and being honest about the context in which those people serve. Kirov or anybody else who's in that role may have a certain position on X, but is going to be bound by the laws that we pass, the regulations that are before him, etc. I think all I would say for now, without knowing too much about who's coming next, is we should make these things less political and not more political. It doesn't mean that we don't ask tough questions. It doesn't mean that we don't take the advice and consent process seriously. But I just think we have to be mindful about saying we are going to only advise and consent to people who look and sound and agree with everything I have to say, or we're not going to go down that road. That's a dangerous slope. I'm not necessarily saying that happened here. But I do think we need to be careful in that going down that road.
So we're about to hit the month mark as far as session going on. Are you where you want to be progress-wise?
Sure. I mean, we knew it was going to be slow. And frankly, we didn't necessarily expect to have redistricting done yet at this point. You know, we thought there was a chance, and the House clearly moved it fairly quickly, but they get to move stuff a little bit quicker just by nature of the process over there. So, I would assume next week, obviously we're going to do redistricting. We'll do some other stuff as well. I mean, I really think next week begins the process of feeling a little bit more like normal. The Senate always starts slow. When I first became majority leader, I thought I'm going to be the guy that fixes this, and it's functionally not possible most times. And the House is passing some stuff over. I know they passed the ag omnibus, and I think they're potentially going to do some election stuff next week. I think that's helpful for us. I don't usually buy into the mindset of like we're not going to pick up House bills until the House picks up Senate bills. So I just want to get good stuff done. And I think we got plenty of time to do that.
Yeah. So the beginning of the year, you said you were really optimistic for the session. Are you still optimistic?
Yeah, I am. I think we this process was always going to be what it was. I do think the supplemental process is going to be a challenge. I don't know exactly what that challenge looks like yet. The House, I think to date has not taken action on getting that out of the House. And so we don't know exactly what it's going to look like when it comes over to our side, but that clearly has some potentially contentious items in it. And so that we always knew that those two things were going to take up a fair amount of bandwidth early, but I still think we have plenty of time to get some stuff done in the education realm, to get some stuff done, in the election reform realm, get some stuff done in tax reform realm. All those things are still out there. They're still possible. I think we have plenty of bandwidth to move ahead.
All right. So my last question is, the state of the Senate itself, at times it appears to go to a standstill, other times it seems to move. Kind of what are those relationships like? Are they better than they were at the beginning of session?
I think they're... they are what they are in any given day, right? I mean, I think the senators who are the most successful are the ones who understand and can act out a scenario where they just don't take this stuff personally. They don't take these moments that we have where we're in conflict on any given number of policy things. That is what it is, and it's always going to be that way. And so... I think when the Senate is in a place that is not good is when there are a bunch of people who are in that headspace of just everybody's out to get me. This is personal. There's this kind of victim mentality, and that happens, right? There are days where people have bad days in the Senate. That's the way that it is. I have plenty of them. And so, you know, I hope we can just kind of get beyond that. Every day is a different day. Every policy is a different policy. It is very rare that the same coalition that exists on redistricting will not be the same coalition that exists on supplemental budget and will not be the same coalition that exists on education or ag, omnibus, whatever comes next after that. And so, you know, the people who succeed recognize that, you know, I just want to be a part of as many successful coalitions as possible. And so that if that's the thing, then you're going to be successful. You're going to get some stuff done.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Senator Rowden, for joining us on the show. Politically Speaking is a product of St. Louis Public Radio, which is a part of the University of Missouri St. Louis. You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah K. Kellogg. That's 2 L's, 2 G's. Senator Rowden, where can people find you on the internet where you want to be found?
Can I say nowhere? No, I'm just joking.
My
Twitter is at Caleb Rowden. My Facebook is at Caleb Rowden. My website is CalebRowden.com.
All right. Until next time, so long.